Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. I just wonder if you have ever experienced total blackout. I'm sure anyone who lived through the Blitz might be able to tell us. My closest experience was on my first visit to the Isle of Iona with my husband and our two close friends. We went to some services at the Abbey, and on the Monday evening we were invited to a barn dance, ceilidh, in the village hall. It was advised that we bring torches. At the end of the evening, I understood why this had been advisable. As we stumbled out into the blackness, clinging on to each other, the light from our torches was faint and seemed feeble, but that tiny light guided and illuminated our way back to our accommodation in the total blackout. I don't think we will have any difficulty in agreeing that the world is a dark, dark place. We're conscious of the increase of violence in different parts of the world, ethnic conflict, homelessness, disregard for the sanctity of human life, breakdown of marriage and family life, a list of so many things that constitute the darkness of the world. But I hope that we're equally persuaded that Jesus Christ came into the world to be its light. The trials and tribulations of life can overcome us, and as we look out at a suffering world, it can prevent us from giving daily, moment by moment, thanks for the light that shines in a dark, dark world, the light of Christ that came to banish darkness, to bring salvation, a rescue open to all those who believe and trust in him. This morning's scripture, recorded in Luke's Gospel, sharply reminds us of that 8-day-old baby being presented in the temple by his parents, Mary and Joseph. The child that came to be the light that shines in a dark, dark world. Jesus, the Son of God, the one who came to save the world. All the Gospels are testimonies to Jesus Christ, not biographies in the modern sense of the word. They were witnesses testifying to Jesus Christ. They were like painters painting a portrait of Jesus, like sculptors fashioning his likeness, though not in stone but in word. So how does St. Luke present Jesus in this morning's text? Here he is, an 8-day-old baby. Then later, we will be introduced to a 12-year-old boy. And as we progress further into the Gospel of Luke, we encounter the 30-year-old Jesus demonstrating the love of God as he preaches, teaches, performs miracles, heals, dies and rises in our stead. In this morning's scripture, we see 5 broad brushstrokes in the portrait that St. Luke is painting of Jesus Christ, focusing on 5 vital aspects of Jesus. The first one is Jesus is the servant of the law. 6 times in this passage, 5 explicitly and 1 implicitly, we see not only servant of the law of Moses, but the obedience and submission to the law experienced by Jesus and his parents, Mary and Joseph. In verse 21 of this morning's text, from Luke 2, we read on the 8th day. The 8th day was the time to circumcise, to name the baby. Well, who said it was time? Well, there's an implicit reference here to the law of Moses. 8 days was the time to circumcise. In verse 22, the time of purification. Not medical, not theological, but a ceremonial act according to the law. In verse 22, to continue, the time of presentation and consecration, again according to the law. Verse 24, time of sacrifice, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, according to what is said in the law. And in verse 27, time to do what is the custom of the law. And finally, verse 39, time to do what is required by the law of Moses. Why this significance? Why the emphasis? Why the particular detail that baby Jesus, 8 days old, obedient and submissive to the law of the Lord, to the law of Moses? You might want to ask that question. Luke likely got the answer from his friend and constant companion, St. Paul, who answers why this obedience to the law of Moses in his letter to the Galatians chapter 4. And it says, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, that those under the law might be redeemed. And then earlier in Galatians chapter 3, we read, Christ has redeemed us, delivered us from the law, justified us and redeemed us. Jesus, the sinless, bore our sin on the cross. It was necessary for our salvation. Jesus became a curse in our place. If Jesus was going to redeem lawbreakers, he must be obedient and submissive to the law. It was necessary for our salvation. Necessary for our salvation. So Jesus is the servant of the law. And the second brushstroke is fulfillment of prophecy. In our passage, we meet Simeon, righteous, devout, student of the Old Testament, a man in waiting, waiting for the redemption of Israel. In Jesus, Simeon recognized the Lord's anointed, the Messiah promised by God, the one who was bringing everlasting, universal redemption, consolation, comfort and peace. God had told Simeon that he wouldn't die before he saw the Lord. This man of God was rewarded after all his waiting. Luke and Simeon were quite clear that Jesus was the fulfillment of prophecy. And thirdly, salvation of God. My dear friend David always reminds me that for believers, there are no coincidences with God, only God incidences. Well, as Simeon arrived at the temple that day, at precisely the same moment, simultaneously coinciding with the arrival of Mary and Joseph with their baby Jesus, it was providential, divinely synchronized, demonstrating the purposes of God. Can you imagine for a moment the excitement of Simeon when he recognized that this was the one he'd been waiting for? The world would see an eight-day-old baby, but Simeon saw that this was the Messiah, the one he'd been waiting for. By the grace of God, Simeon's eyes were opened. He takes the baby in his arms and blesses him. And then he utters those wonderful words we now know as the Nunc Dimittis. Lord, now let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My eyes have seen your salvation. Many people are offended by the word salvation. It's a conversation stopper. There are some bizarre reactions. Some blush with embarrassment. Others frown in non-comprehension. Some snigger in nervousness. Others laugh out aloud, considering the whole topic as a huge joke. And yet, salvation is a deadly serious matter. One Christian organisation I worked for would always ask, are you saved? Have you been saved? Do you know what salvation means? What does that salvation look like? Have you entered into the salvation that Jesus Christ came to bring? If you have struggled with the word salvation, use the word freedom. Salvation means a freedom from the just judgment of God upon our sin and upon all evil wherever it's found. Freedom from guilt, freedom from the fear of death, freedom from eternal death. Simeon was moved deep in his soul. My eyes have seen your salvation. Jesus is the salvation of God. And then the fourth brushstroke, light of the nations. Jesus came to effect our salvation. He came as a light in a dark, dark world. He came as a revelation to the Gentiles, that's you and I too, and the glory of the people of Israel. in the sight, it says, of all peoples, equal beneficiaries. He brings light when we feel the dark is overwhelming. God prepared salvation for all peoples. Mary and Joseph marvelled. They were amazed. Did you know that Luke was the only Gentile author in the New Testament, writing both the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles? It's appropriate that he records this event this morning, and the dominant theme that runs through Luke, the Gospel of, and the Acts of the Apostle, and the dominant theme is Saviour of all. Saviour of all. Jesus is the light of the nations. And fifth and final point, Jesus is the judge of the world. Simeon was moved to recite, we don't know whether he sang it or just recited, the Nunc Dimittis as we know it. And it was in prose as he addressed Mary. And in verse 34, it says, saying Jesus was destined to cause the rise and the fall of many. Some will reject and they will fall. Some of us will accept and we will rise through faith. Jesus, as well as uniting, is divisive. Sifting as a shepherd with sheep from goats. Sifting as a farmer, wheat from tares. Judgment is a sifting, a separating process. Mary's son was rejected by many. Simeon said that a sword would pierce Mary's heart. And that was fulfilled as she gazed in anguish on her son upon the cross at Calvary. The cross is the foundation of our lives as believers, but for some, it is a stumbling block. The secrets of all hearts will be revealed. Are we prepared to be examined? Jesus is the judge of the world. Is our understanding of Jesus the same as Luke and Simeon? Do we acknowledge him as our saviour, as our salvation, a light in this dark, dark world? Do we trust in Jesus? Can we embrace him as our Lord? Would you believe it? I've reached my 80 years and 10. Every day for me, as it was for Simeon, is a bonus day. I often reflect upon this. If it is my last day, will I be ready? Ready to face my Maker? But indeed, for all of us, we don't have to be old. Do we look forward to the day when Jesus will come again? Simeon was a man in waiting, waiting for the first coming of the Lord. We are a people in waiting, waiting for the second coming. Just to finish with a story, a short story of a sculptor who had created a sculpture, a statue of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many travel miles to view it. And then someone who viewed the sculpture asked the sculptor, what was the best angle from which to view it? The reply came, you must kneel in order to see the sculpture perfectly. Perhaps we could have a moment of quiet to ponder and to reflect, if we could not literally, but metaphorically, open our arms, open our hands, open our hearts, and metaphorically kneel before our Lord. Maybe you welcomed Jesus as your Saviour some long time ago. But if you've never welcomed him into your heart and into your life and acknowledged him as your Saviour, then maybe this is the time. Sunday morning, the 1st of February, 2026, in St Andrew's Church, Westlands, maybe this is the time to turn to him, to welcome him into your heart, into your life. Let's hold a moment of quiet. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him, and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Oh, open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. And a moment of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are an amazing God, an almighty God, a saving God. And Lord, I hold each person here this morning, each one of us gathered this morning before you. And Lord, I pray that you touch our hearts this day. Remind us of the salvation that has been opened for each one of us through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came to be the light of the world. And Lord, this morning we just ask as we come before you that, Lord, that you just touch our hearts, touch our minds. Help us, Lord, to open our eyes to see Jesus in those that we meet on a daily basis, those that you give to us, the encounters you give to us, Lord, and help us to respond as you would ask and to serve you in all we do. And I pray this prayer in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.